How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Midweek, got a couple good practices in, so doing much better.
Sounds good. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, the coach's show live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, presented by Finley Toyota. And obviously, we need to start with the game against Howard. Coach, you've been faced with a lot of tough questions all week, and I'll start with the toughest question, which is, what are you having for dinner here?
You know, I haven't looked yet. I got to look at the menu first.
All right.
Once I do that, I'll make a quality decision.
Black and blue burger.
Okay, here you go.
All right.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, obviously, a huge disappointment in this game, and I know that you've been through the mill on this the last couple of days. But now that you've had a chance to reflect and get some time under your belt, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, when you look back on it, there's so many things that we did that got in our own way of being successful on the night. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, on Sunday when I went in, I literally typed up 25 plays that weren't physical. They were all mental errors, things we could have done better, whether it's, you know, being in the right position to make a tackle, whether, you know, it's a false start or, you know, a special teams play or personnel grouping, you know, just unforced errors. And I had the film to go with it. And that was the first thing, is you look at, okay, what are the things that got in our way of being successful? Well, it was ourselves. You know, it wasn't our opponent. So, you know, in one way, that's, you know, they're all fixable. You know, in the other way, you feel good about it, because it's not like we have a bad team. We got some good players on the team. They're more than capable of going out and winning bunch of football games, but we got to snap and clear fast, and we got to get right back into it.
All right, now we're going to continue just to discuss the game in more detail. Later on, we'll discuss the upcoming opponent. That's Idaho, team where the Rebels had one of the closest games in the last couple of years last year, that overtime shootout, 33-30 at Sam Boyd. And then we have a conversation with Mike Hughes later in the second half of the show. We'll get to that also. Caleb, I want to get your thoughts on Armani Rodgers and his performance in his first game.
Well, Armani Rodgers, to me, had a good performance, a solid performance for his first collegiate start. I think Coach Sanchez and I talked about it. He did some things that were exceptional for a young quarterback coming in, and one of them being commanding the huddle. I think looking in his eyes, Coach talked about some of the players saying in the huddle he had command of the offense, answered questions, was their leader out there on the field. You know, there's some minor things that he'll adjust to and get better, a little bit of inaccuracy on some throws, but all in all, 11 of 19 was it from the completion percentage, 200 and something yards, and some rushing yards to boot. So he, no interceptions, no major mistakes. He had a pretty solid outing for his first start at quarterback. Showed some good signs for what's going to come for the rest of the season.
Coach, when Caleb talks about command in the huddle, that sounds like a leadership quality that can't really be taught. You either have it or you don't.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, you know, being a quarterback, I mean, it comes with the job. I mean, you have to be a leader. They got to believe in you. You've got to have a presence. And I thought he did a really good job with that. You never really know until you get on out there. And I thought he did a good job of, if there was nerves controlling him, because you didn't see him, he was kind of cool hand Luke the entire time, no matter what happened. He never got rattled, you know, never got flustered out there, and just kept playing his game. And, you know, again, like Caleb said, I mean, you know, he counted for over 300 yards, no turnovers, had a touchdown, got us in some good situations. And one of the things I love the most was when there was a little bit of pressure, he wasn't looking at the rush. He stood tall in the pocket. He, you know, he was patient. He delivered the ball, and, you know, and we gave him a limited menu. I mean, only 19 attempts. It's not a ton of attempts. So this week we're going to open it up a little bit more, and we're going to expand on what he can do. And, you know, I think, you know, we looked at him. We talked about it as a staff, and his ability to run and throw the football, he becomes something that can be a big burden on a defense, and we need to give him a little bit more.
Was that game plan going in to kind of limit his throws a little bit and let him have the running game do more of the work?
Yeah, we did. You know, we felt like, you know, with our ability to run the football, that we could settle him into it a little bit. And, and it kind of transpired that way. And then for a minute, we had to really, you know, start to open it up a little bit. We didn't have a problem running the football during the game. Again, it was more of a red zone thing that really wasn't on him at all. So the plan worked, except for inside the red zone. When we got inside the red zone, we walked away. I mean, I think of five possessions we had 9 points. You know, I mean,
right.
It's like, you know, that can't happen. That, I mean, in a 3-point game, that's the game, you
right.
know. So, but I think, you know, maybe being a little bit more aggressive on first downs, knowing that you're in four down territory, you know, depending on what happens on second and third, you know, we just got to go ahead and take some calculated risks with them.
One of the surprises I saw from him was his contribution to the rushing game. I think he, you know, young quarterbacks usually show a little bit of timidness going into the rushing game, but he was not timid at all. Can you talk about that going forward with him?
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, you know, you spend an entire year on a scout team, right, when you're redshirting. And, you know, most of the teams that you're going to scout against are either going to be RPOs, they're going to be read zone teams. So he spent an entire year doing a bunch of that stuff. So, you know, he ran against our 1D all year last year. So it's not like he hasn't been in competitive situations, getting hit and, you know, understanding. But, you know, you brought it up earlier. You want to make sure he doesn't take too many hits, you know. And, you know, going into, you know, the last 2 years, our deal was, you know, you don't run out of bounds no matter what. You know, even the quarterback, right? Well, we changed that philosophy going into this season. We said it's out of bounds is okay, and once you get the first down slide, it's okay.
Right.
Now let's just take a look at his numbers so we have the right kind of perspective. 11 out of 19, 220 yards passing, and he rushed nine times with 87 yards. So, I mean, that's a 9.1 yard per rush. So, obviously, he showed a lot of skills in every aspect.
He did. I mean, and he's definitely the prototype dual-threat quarterback. And the great thing about him, though, is he's not just a runner. Sometimes you look at a dual-threat quarterback and, you know, they're 80% a runner, 20% a passer. I mean, he can throw. I mean, he'll have no problem sitting back there and throwing the ball 30 times a game and, you know, and not running. So, but, you know, he'll take what, you know, you're going to give him. So, if, you know, if lanes open up and we do need to do some of the RPOs and the read zones, he'll hurt you with them. So you have to account for him, which will help him in the passing game.
We weren't going to get into more of the nuts and bolts of what happened in this game against Howard, but I want to ask you, Coach, we have an idea now how you and the coaching staff handle the real blowback from the results of this game, which has been a nationwide type thing. It's all over social media. But what about the players? You got a bunch of 20-year-old guys, and it can't be easy for them. So, is there a way to insulate them from this, or how do you help them deal with it?
Well, you talk about it. I mean, you don't hide from it. You just say, hey, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, this is when families come together, you know, and all that stuff, all it does is make you tighter. I mean, I know our guys, you know, they feel a lot of responsibility, and, you know, they're you know, they're sorry that, you know, they felt like, you know, they let some people down. As coaches, we feel the exact same way. So what do? You go back to work and you work harder. Let me tell you, blowback and social media, big, big deal. I mean, there's a lot of people dealing with a whole lot worse in the world. So if you're feeling sorry for yourself, just turn on the news and see what people are going through. You know, I mean, it's my brother. I got a nice text from my brother Joey. He's at Fort Bragg, just got back after serving 300 days in Iraq on his third tour. So, you know what, I'm not feeling too bad about myself right now. Doesn't mean we don't got to get better. It doesn't mean we don't have to own this. But I tell you what, you know, you got to cowboy up sometimes, and you know, you got to own responsibility for the things you didn't do right, and you got to move on, because all the noise is just that, it's noise. I mean, you got to go out there, you win the next game, you move on from there.
Who in the locker room, speaking of players, who in the locker room has been that guy this week that you've noticed or out at practice has been the guy to kind of try to right the ship and get everybody back on the right page?
Yeah, you know, Mike Hughes has done a phenomenal job all year. He's done a really good job. Zach Singer, again, has done a really good job. It's funny, you know, Lexington in his own way, you know, his big old bright smile,
right,
and, you know,
right,
just kind of his jovialness, and appropriately, though, you know, I mean, it's not like he's taking it light, but, you know, he comes on and he's got a good attitude and some swagger, and the kids follow that, you know. And the same thing, too, you know, that's part of being a leader. You know, if you sit down and, you know, and you walk in the building and you're upset and your shoulders are shrugging and you're feeling bad about yourself, everyone else is going to reflect that. So
right.
You walk in, you own it, pop your chest out and say, you know what, we messed up, we made some mistakes, we got to own it, we got to move on, and you better be just as energetic as if you won that game by 50 points. You know what I mean? It is what it is. You know, it's over, nothing you can do about it. So you got to walk in, and from you all the way down to that last man on the roster, everybody's got to just, hey, let's keep digging, keep digging.
Okay. Now, we touched on this. Two of the things that really were positives for the Rebels for most of last year, if not all of last year, kind of plagued them in this game, the 13 penalties and then the three fumbles that were lost. So fumbling, obviously, I mean, that's a mechanical thing.
Yeah.
But the other, all those penalties, you touched on it a little bit, Coach. What do you do about that? And is there someone, as Caleb mentioned, is there a player who can get in, if necessary, in someone's face about stuff like that?
There is. You know, I mean, like you said, fumbles, I mean, that's the same amount of fumbles we lost the entire season last year. So
yep.
It's uncharacteristic
right.
for us. So we'll be fine. You know, they'll do a better job. Two of them were freshmen. And, you know, again, it's not a knock on them at all. It's just, you know, you're in your first Division I game. You know, one guy's in a bad situation on, you know, kick return. And, you know, and then Drew just makes a great catch. Guy comes from behind him. Learning experiences for young guys. We'll be fine there. But as far as the penalties, you got to clean that stuff up. And that's just, you know, that's just mental preparedness. I mean, when you're false starting, you know, and when you look at the variety, it's not one person, it's a variety of guys. Some of them were older guys
right.
you expect to be dialed in and ready to go. So that's something that needs to be talked about. But I tell you, you get back the first false start we had at practice, we stopped it. Everyone's on the line. It's hashing back. There's a consequence, you know, and it's one of, you hate being punitive like that. But, you know, as soon as we did it, the guys, they recognized right away. It's like, you know, this is unacceptable. Can't happen. And that was the last false start we had the entire week of practice so far. So, you know, it's one of those deals where you got to point it out and you got to challenge guys and they'll do a better job. We had two illegal hands to the face and, you know, they're both accidental, but you got to know where your hands are. You know, at the end of the day, you know, they get a 15-yard penalty, so they're going to be kicking off from their own 20. Well, on a PAT block, we got a young defensive lineman breaks a face mask back. Now they get the normal kick spot, and we fumble that kickoff. Well, they may be doing something totally different if they're kicking off from their own 20. You know, so again, it affects the game, and I think educating those guys on how serious it is, and then also getting on your coaches a little bit about, hey, everything you see in practice, you can't let it go. If you see a penalty by your guys in practice, address it right there. If you don't notice it right then and there and you see it on film, talk about it. Coach it. It's just as important as the technique.
So, Coach, going into throughout the game, did you feel that the pressure of the game kind of started to get to the players? Because, you know, I'm sure they knew that they were the heavy favorite going into the game, or knew that they should have been performing better. As the game wore on and Howard's sticking around and all these comebacks, they're taking everything they threw. Did you feel the nerves of the guys and the pressure kind of building with the players?
You know, not really until towards the end. I mean, because, you know, in the first half, everybody stayed pretty calm. You know, the defense, you know, saw some things they hadn't seen. You know, that's part of not having film and things like that. But, you know, you don't want to give up those 14. They were going to give up 14 in the first half. Not only, they shouldn't even have given up that. But, you know, one of them was scoop and score, right? Once they settled down, they played pretty well. Offensively, once we found ourselves, you know, we go ahead and we come right back. We get that, you know, 33-21 lead, and, you know, we're back in, you know, in a good position. And at that point, you're seeing some confidence in the guys, and then they put together a 15-play drive. It's like, you know, you got to learn when to bow up. I mean, we're sitting there. We've come back from a tough situation. We have a lead. It's not a comfortable lead, but we have a lead. It's a 2-score lead. And then we give them a 15-play drive all the way down the field, and they score. And then on that next play, we fumble the kickoff, and then they score again. So, I mean, that's a huge momentum swing in that game right there. But after that, the offense came back and took the lead again. So, offensively, I never felt like we kind of got out of rhythm. But at the end, we got out of rhythm on defense, no doubt about it.
Right.
You mentioned that, Coach, and I was going to ask you about that. If that might have been the turning point, the Rebels are up 33-21, and then Howard gets the ball, and they have this long drive. And at least three times on that drive, they're faced with a third and long. And they were able to convert those.
Yeah, well, we talked about that quite a bit throughout the entire week. I mean, getting off the field on third downs, I mean, that's an extremely frustrating deal. Again, when you have that type of lead and, you know, and it's not like they're throwing the ball over the yard, too. They're just running the ball. We had so many missed tackles. And, you know, again, you've got to be able to bow up. You have to play situational defense. You know, you've got to know, you know, at that point, that's where you win the game.
Right.
You
know,
you
got to
stop. You go down, you score again, you start putting them away slowly but surely. And that didn't happen.
All right, we're going to take our first break on the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, the Coach's Show today. But Rebel fans, post your fan pictures with the hashtag LesOlsonIT, and you might win a $100 Amazon gift card. Les Olson Company hopes you win. Visit LesOlsonIT.com for contest details. Les Olson Company, your office technology partner. We are live at Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. We're going to have all kinds of stuff to tell you about Born and Raised, and they want to really encourage you to download their app because there's all kinds of good stuff connected with that. We'll get into all of the details on that in just a little while, and later on in the show we'll be chatting with one of the real senior leaders on the Rebels defense, and that would be Mike Hughes. But we'll pause right now and take our first break for tonight and be right back in just a few minutes. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on the Learfield Sports Network. Welcome back to the Tony Sanchez Radio Show, live from Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. You know, Finley Toyota is a proud supporter of UNLV football and has been ever since it opened. Finley Toyota and UNLV Athletics, one great team. And a reminder, don't miss a big play while you're checking your phone. Access the Contour Sports app from Cox with voice control or through the main menu and get stats and scores on your TV screen without interrupting the game. Visit cox.com/contour to learn more. And I want to remind you that Born and Raised, which is a great place anyway with terrific food and just a wonderful atmosphere with TVs all over the place showing everything in the world you could ever imagine, the world of sports, they offer free parlay cards. They're really encouraging everybody to download their app. And if you take a parlay card, fill out one entry a day, for up to five a week. You have a chance to win $100 in free play or a gift card. And then so the big encouragement here is to download the Born and Raised app to find out the winners every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Now, as far as UNLV specials are concerned, $3 draft Bud Light and Mick Ultra, $4 draft Kilt Lifter, and the $20 100-ounce Bud Light and Milk Ultra Beer Towers. NFL specials include $6 Jameson and Malibu, $6 Absolute Bloody Marys. And so, they invite you to join them for the Best of Las Vegas at www.votebestoflasvegas.com/BAR for Born and Raised. And a reminder, the 6th annual Wiffle Ball Tournament is October 14th from Born and Raised. It's 1980s themed. Sign up your 4-person team up today on our app or the website, which is www.bornandraisedlv.com. So, who's going to be the 4th member of our wiffle ball team?
Oh, my goodness. I wanted to know if the 80s theme is strictly talking about dress code. Is there an 80s dress code that we need to adhere to?
You know what, though? The crazy thing is that's when I was playing wiffle ball in the 80s.
Maybe if it's 80s, we got to take human growth hormone to qualify.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
You throw a nasty curve with a wiffle ball.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Can't get a read on that thing.
Some guys get, there are some big-time leagues in certain parts of the country where guys get, they'll put a wiffle ball in a microwave and misshape it.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
That thing will do everything except sing two arias from La Boheme. It's amazing what they can make that thing do. Coach, still want to get into a couple of individuals for game one, and we'll start with Devontae Boyd, who everybody knows and expects is extremely talented, but what about his performance catching once again for over 100 yards?
Yeah, he had so many 100-yard games in his career, and he's just a great player, and that's what you expect from guys like that, to go out there and dominate their part of the game, and I thought he did a great job, over 100 yards, and made some big catches, had a nice touchdown for us, so, that's Devontae Boyd, that's what he does.
All right, now, we touched on Lexington Thomas, but specifically 21 carries for 151 yards and 2 touchdowns, averaging 7.2 yards per carry.
Yeah, Lex, he's had a great career up to this point, and obviously, got cut a little short last year with injuries, towards the end of the year. But, with him and Charles both sharing the load, he's a little fresher coming out of camp. And in that game right there, they both kind of, had some carries along with Armani. So he did a great job. Some of his elusiveness in the open space. And the thing that nobody sees that I was so fired up about, because he's a slighter guy, in size and stature. He did a phenomenal job in pass protection. He was putting his face mask right in there, did a great job of protecting Armani, and those are the unseen things that you need to be as a back. There's a lot of good running backs out there, but if you're going to be great, you have to be a great pass protector, and I was really happy to see him do that.
Talk a little bit about his personality. You talked about his lighthearted, kind of jovial spirit in the team. Has he always been that guy?
Always. You're never going to see him overly fired up for anything. He's kind of the practical joker. He's always got a smile on his face,
right.
And just kind of, it's like, come on, let's go, get serious. And he just smiles right at you, and that's just who he is. But it's good. The team responds to him. I've always said you got to be yourself. You can't pretend you're somebody else. Be yourself.
Right.
And he does. He brings a good little lightheartedness to everything, but he's a hell of a competitor.
Absolutely.
Well, every good locker room has to have some people who keep everybody loose.
No doubt about it, and he's one of those guys.
Coach, just want to touch on this. Special teams. It looked like in the first half, they had tightened a lot of things up from last year that appeared to be issues, and maybe the second half not as much.
Yeah, when you look at it, we actually played pretty well on special teams, but we had some really serious mistakes. Obviously the turnover, there was a couple penalties, but when you talk about the physicality of us, it's night and day from last year. Our ability to run down and pin a runner inside the 20 on kickoff, our kick returns, and we had a couple that almost popped, did a really good job there. Pantel's had a really nice punt. Last one into the wind kind of derailed that a little bit, but we are a bigger, longer, more physical team. Evan Owens did a tremendous job running down and making plays, and so that was really good to see. That's going to bode well for us for the course of the year. We'll clean up some of the mistakes, but as far as the physical guys and the depth we have on there now, it's an entirely different unit.
So how often do you practice the situational special teams? Because there was a couple times you guys pinned them down in their own territory with some punts, down on the one, inside the one. I think, a couple of times that created some good opportunity for defense. How often do you practice that? Because it looked really good.
Yeah, you know, you do it once a week, and during camp you do it a bunch. So coming out, you've probably practiced it more than you have the ability to throughout the entire course of the season. So, I mean, that's one of the deals in that five-week camp. You're working on every possible situation that can occur. But, you know, there's once a week where, you know, we did it actually today where you put the ball on the 40 and you're punting in and you're trying to pin him. You don't want to kick it into the end zone. Right. But Evan did a great job of hitting that wedge and having it pop to the left, and that was great to see.
Bailey Leolagi, Brian Keyes, Dalton Baker seem to be three guys who are in a lot of places all over the field.
Yeah, they are. You know, I mean, you know, Bailey and Brian, you know, they did a decent job for the most part. You know, I mean, at times they really showed, you know, but there's still some growth potential with those guys. And, you know, and Dalton also. Evan Ostry, who shares a position with Dalton, he's got to get in a little bit more. So you'll see him play a little bit more and split some more time with Dalton. He's a younger guy, but he's a longer physical guy, and he played well enough on film to get him in there more. And then one of the guys I was really impressed with that, you know, he got his first start, you know, with Gabe McCoy. And I thought Gabe was, you know, he's a physical guy. And, you know, he had a real timely pick for us. It was a big play and did some really good things. So, you know, again, collectively as a group, you know, it's a good group of kids. We just got to get them dialed in.
Right, absolutely. Those linebackers, I think, second half coming out, adjusting to that funky little shotgun two-back offset formation that Howard was doing. You did a good job kind of absorbing it at halftime and coming out and making adjustments.
Well, that was the biggest thing. I mean, they ran that split zone out of that, and it's something that, you know, we hadn't seen. You know, I mean, we didn't have film on them doing that. But, you know, again, they adjusted. When you look at the third quarter and the amount of three and outs we got on defense, right. I mean, it's like, all right, man, we figured this thing out. We're playing well, and, you know, we come on back. And, again, it wasn't until a lot of part of the game, and all of a sudden it kind of slipped back into that mode. And a lot of it had to do with missed tackles. I mean, you just got to do a better job of that. And, you know, that we got to do a better job of coaching it. They got to do a better job of, executing it.
Darren Woods, one of the wide receivers, also active on special teams. Address, if you would, Coach, your evaluation of him, where he is now, and potentially where he could be.
Yeah, Darren's a great player. You know, we'd like to see him get the ball in his hands. Him and Brandon Presley, you'd like to see them get more touches. And that comes in with the amount of times we threw the football. You know, so 19, you know, you're limited. Boyd gets his share and some other guys too. But I think opening it up a little bit more and creating some more opportunities for them to touch the ball. You know, Darren's a big physical guy. He's a really talented kick returner. And I think as the year goes on, you're really going to see him come into his own along with Brandon Presley.
All right, well, after we take our next break, we're going to talk a little bit more about Idaho coming up, quite a bit more, actually. But certainly, I would think one of the two most electrifying plays last season, the Dalton Snead 91-yard touchdown run, and then, of course, the Lexington Thomas 55-yard burst against Idaho in that game at Sam Boyd Stadium. And these are some of the things that are just incredibly memorable, and we'll see what the Rebels can come up with Saturday.
Yeah, no, I mean, we'll come up with some more of those plays, and, you know, Lex is back, and, you know, he's fired up and ready to roll, so it'll be good.
Caleb, when you were first coming into your own, right, getting to UNLV, was there a teammate, a coach, somebody who was particularly helpful to you?
Well, honestly, he's still on staff, Cedric Kamir. He was the receivers coach when I was there as well. I actually had a stint where I was going through a rough patch at quarterback and actually started playing receiver, so he was my position coach, and he kind of understood me. He was there in the worst of times for me when I, you know, kind of was giving up on football for a while and ready to call it quits almost and, you know, stay back home for summer break and never come back. You know, he was one of the guys that was in my ear during that rough time. Also, Devontae Davis, we were roommates at the same time, and during that time, those two, I think, kind of were the voices in my ear that kind of brought me back in, and from that, we built a solid relationship. I come out to practice now sometimes, and Coach Kamir is still out there, and I talk to him all the time. He's you know, we've built a relationship based on that, and he's there with one of my toughest times and saw me through to one of my highest times at UNLV. So he was definitely that person for me. So him along with Devontae Davis in the locker room were my kind of emotional base, I would say, during my rough and my glorious times at UNLV.
All right. Now, Coach, before we go to break, some of the fans might not be aware of some of the new faces in the coaching staff, running backs now being handled by Travis Burkett, who came from Cornell, cornerbacks coached by veteran David Lockwood, who was a staffer at places like Arizona, Notre Dame, and West Virginia, and then the new strength and conditioning coach, Sean Manuel, who has worked with you quite a bit.
Yeah, you know, they're great guys. I've known them for years. Travis is a young, fiery guy, really intelligent guy, and he's, you know, I've known him for years, and he's added a sense of discipline to that room. You know, one of the biggest things we said is that room's talented, it's got to get a little tougher, and he's added some of that toughness to him, and you can see the guys are clinging to him. I mean, I talked to him just a minute ago. They're all in his office right now watching film on their own time, you know. And then David Lockwood, again, as a gentleman I've known for a long, long time, tried to get him originally when I first got the job, and he was over at Arizona. But he's done a really good job. One of the areas we really struggled in was playing the deep ball, and the one thing that was nice to see is the way our guys were able to flip their hips, turn. They were always in position. He's done a really good job of, you know, being tough on them, but at the same time teaching them, doing a really good job of that. So he's got a young group, and Dave, he's just a tremendous guy. And then Coach Manuel, man, me and him have been together since we were 18 years old. I mean, we played together JUCO ball at Laney College. We played together at New Mexico State. He's with me at Cal High. He's with me at Gorman. Now he's, you know, finally back. Tried to get him again when I first got here, and he's a twin, and he had twins. So
right.
It was a tough time in his life to to come on over. So, you know, Sean's got a great story. You know, guy, you know, ended up playing in the league, and he's a tremendous talent at that spot. So the kids have really, I mean, you talk to them, you don't have to talk to me, ask them about the strides that they've made with him, you know, delivering speed and power, and just the understanding of eating right, just doing the right thing. He's a real scientist with it. So love the three guys we added this year. You know, love the work that the guys who left did too. I mean, it's not about that, but the guys we have, real excited about them, and I know that you've seen in their position groups a development from their players.
So how awesome is it on a personal level to kind of, like, the history with all these new coaches that you bring in, how awesome is it to be able to be in a position to kind of bring that family camaraderie feeling together as a coaching staff? How awesome is that?
It's huge, you know, and it's, you know, tough at first, you know, when you were bringing in, a group of guys, and, you know, now it's, you know, everybody, I mean, you've known for years, there's a relationship there that's longer than just, you know, the here and now.
Right.
Oftentimes in this profession, you don't have a chance to do that, you know. So I've always believed you got to create a family atmosphere, and it's great. I mean, again, you know, getting guys like Sean, you know, back, you know, he's been kind of, you know, we got a good yin and yang. You see me, I'm fiery and going nuts.
Right, right.
He's always very, you know, gospel-y. You just, you know, get after you a little bit. And so it's a good little marriage, so to speak.
Right, absolutely.
All right, next segment, we're going to talk a little bit more about Idaho, the upcoming opponent this coming Saturday afternoon. But first, a reminder to come into Finley Toyota for the largest selection of new, certified, pre-owned, and used vehicles to choose from. Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. We're live to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the Road, where they encourage you to download their app, all kinds of good stuff, and we'll get into more detail on that coming up as well. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield Sports. Official home of the Rebels on the Road, live for the Tony Sanchez Radio Show with Coach Sanchez and Caleb Herring. I'm Russ Langer, looking for a great car deal. Remember, nobody sells or services more vehicles in Nevada than Finley Toyota. At Finley Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. And right here at Born and Raised, they won't quite do anything to get you to download their app, but if you do, free parlay cards, fill out one entry a day, up to 5 a week. Chance to win $100 in free play or gift cards. So download the Born and Raised app to find out the winners on Tuesday at 4 p.m. And again, the football specials include $3 Draft Bud, Bud Light, and Mick Ultra. For $4, Draft Kilt Lifter. And for $6, Jameson. And Born and Raised would love for you to stop by and sample some of the great food they have in a great atmosphere. And then you'll be inspired to vote for them in Best of Las Vegas at www.votebestoflasvegas.com/BAR. That's capital B-A-R for Born and Raised. And don't forget the 6th Annual Wiffle Ball Tournament. That's October 14th, 1980s themed. Signed up your 4-person team today on the Born and Raised app or the website. The website, www.bornandraisedlv.com. Russ Langer here with Caleb Herring and Coach Tony Sanchez, and Coach, you've seen some tape now, seen some film on the Idaho Vandals. What impresses you?
Well, I'll tell you what, they, Coach Petrino's done a great job there. I mean, you know, he's a great reflection of what you can do, and you just kind of keep your nose down and keep on grinding. You know, I mean, they had 6 wins after 3 years, and now you look at them, and they've won 10 of the last 14 games. I mean, that's pretty impressive. I mean, they've done a really good job there. They're you know, defensively, they're tough. You know, they kind of – I don't want to say it's not a complete bend but don't break, but you're going to see a lot of – bell coverage, butt to the sideline, keeping things in front of them. Right. They're stingy inside the box, but they're going to make you drive the field. They're not going to give up a lot of big plays. You don't see that on film. So it's one of those deals where they you know, they're waiting for you to make a mistake. So you got to do a really good job of being clean up there. You know, offensively, you look at their quarterback, and you know, he's just, you know, he's tremendous. I mean, he does a great job. He's savvy. He throws off his back foot better than anybody I've ever seen. I mean, it's just weird. I mean, you look at some of the throws and you're thinking, how's he completing those balls? And but they must work on it, because he's a great back foot throw. We found out last year. But it's one of those deals where you watch film and it happens game after game after game. It's kind of an interesting deal. Matt Linehan. And so when you have a quarterback, me and Caleb were just talking, when you have a quarterback that's special, that gives your team a chance to be really, really good. And they have that Duckworth at running back, does a great job, big physical guy. They have a young offensive line. They'll be much better from week one to week two. Last week they struggled a little bit, especially in their pass protections and pickups, and you know, so I'm sure they're going to correct a lot of that stuff. But you know, this is a good matchup for us. I mean, I think there's a lot of opportunities there, but there's a lot of things we need to do a good job with. They're well coached, they'll be well prepared, and the thing that they have is confidence. I mean, they're a team that, you know, won a big bowl game against Colorado State last year. They're a team that, you know, beat us in overtime last year. You know, they've got that culture of winning started, so you're going to have to overcome that right away, you know, and I don't think they're a team that at any point is going to get rattled because of what they've accomplished. So you're going to have to go out there, you're going to have to play real well, make it as physical as you can right away.
Coach, you talked about last year, the overtime game. A lot of guys returning from both teams coming back to this week. Does that add a little bit of a chip on the shoulder with the guys in the locker room knowing that they lost in overtime last year?
Yeah, you know, I mean, in the offseason, I think the two games that were probably brought up the most and probably kind of, you know, put that big chip on your shoulder was the Idaho game and the Reno game. I mean, those are the two games that you never sat well with. So there's no doubt about it. But, you know, at the end, you know how it is. I mean, we got to be fired up. We got to be ready to go. And, you know, number one, because we want to go out and show that we can play a good, solid football game and play a good, clean football game. So you need to be a little emotional about it, not too emotional about it, because that can also be a detriment at times too. Does it bother you? And so are some of those guys going to remember some of those films? I hope so. Yeah. I hope they come out and there's a little chip on their shoulder and they're a little frothy at the mouth about it and, you know, and ready to go for a fist fight. That's what we want to see. We want to see a big physical game with our guys.
Absolutely. Coach, you mentioned earlier, we talked about it, you've been to the Kibbe Dome before.
Yep.
A unique place, to say the least. Have you touched on it with any of the players? Because I know walking into that stadium for the first time, it's a little weird. It throws you off a little bit.
It is. You got the floating goalposts. They're just kind of sticking out of the wall. And, you know, this is the way it's – it's an interesting deal when you look at it. It's unique. So we were going to take our kids there on Friday, right? But all the fires going on in Idaho, and, again, you're praying that everybody's safe up there. But they had to move a bunch of the high school games into the stadium, so we can't go there on Friday. So Saturday morning after we eat breakfast, we're going to roll over there real quick in just 10 minutes. You know, it's right next to the hotel. Just let them, you know, in their flip-flops, walk around, see it, take a look at it. Because the first time you see it, it's an interesting venue.
Right.
It's really different, you know. And depth perception, things like that, you know, it's tough to get a grasp on in warm-ups. And I remember that from when I was there back in, 97, I think.
Right.
So we definitely want them to see it a little bit, talk about it. So as soon as we come back there a couple hours later, it won't be brand new.
Right, absolutely.
All right, and a couple. You mentioned their confidence, Coach, and a couple of reasons for that. You mentioned they won 10 of 14. They've also won 6 in a row, including the last 5 games of last season. You mentioned the Colorado State game, which they won, and a couple of reasons for that. They have been winning the turnover battle consistently the last couple of years, and their defense has come up big. The season opener, they held Sacramento State to 6 points and 190 yards of total offense.
Yeah, you know, and they've done that consistently. And you know, the thing about them, too, is they're not a high-pressure defense. They're about 30% pressures, and it really doesn't make a difference on the down and distance or your personnel group. They're pretty consistent. It's kind of amazing how they kind of stick right in that 33-31%, you know, regardless. And again, it's kind of that bend but don't break philosophy. You know, they're going to keep the ball in front of them. They're going to tackle well. They're going to wait for you to make a mistake, jump off sides, create a turnover, you know, drop a ball. They're waiting for you to kind of make that mistake, and then they do a really good job of being stingy. They run a lot of different things. You know, again, when they take risks, they're calculated risks, and and they're fundamentally sound. So they do a good job.
So preparation-wise, that consistency, you know, from a quarterback standpoint, talking about Imani going into this game, preparing for it, that's got to help him out a little bit because he's pretty much knows what he's going to get. You said 33% pressure. That's not a lot of pressure, especially, you know, considering he's a young quarterback. He's probably going to see more than that from a lot of teams. Preparing for the game, does that kind of comfort him a little bit, knowing that he's going to – what he sees is what he gets?
Yeah, I mean, there are some things, some set things that they do that, you know, that hopefully will settle him where he, you know, he's got a, you know, high probability of seeing what we're showing him. I mean, there's always that case that they throw a wrinkle in here and there, but there's a high probability that what we're showing them is exactly what they're going to do, and they're just going to be real sound. So, you know, we've got some things in there, you know, a couple wrinkles. I'm sure they do too, that we feel like, you know, can be good explosive plays for us. You know, and I think that'll really, you know, benefit him. It, you know, last year you look at it, and, you know, offensively, you know, again, it's one of those deals where we move the ball well on those guys. I mean, we found some things that were really, really good. We had one pick six at the very beginning of the game that kind of put us behind the eight ball, and, you know, and then another turnover a little bit later early in that game. And you know, and after that, it was kind of, you know, coming back from behind the entire time. But we had a good game plan last year going in as far as moving the ball. We ended up putting, you know, some points on the board. You want to start a little faster. And that's the biggest thing I told our guys. You know, it's really important that we come in and gain. It doesn't mean you got to have an 80-yard drive and score a touchdown, but you need to move the chains. You got to get some first downs. You got to start feeling good about, you know, what you're doing, and, you know, change field position. And then we need to do a good job on defense. But I think Armani will settle in and he'll be all right. And you never know. They might come in and take the 33 and flip it and, you know, and give him 60% pressure. You never know.
Yeah, last year, as I recall, one of the things that really helped to make a difference. The Rebels a couple of times were very deep in the red zone and had to come away with field goals, two short field goals twice, and then they end up, you know, losing in overtime. It seemed to make a big difference.
It did. I mean, it, again, you know, the biggest thing for us, we talk about it all the time, is when you get in the red zone, you got to score a touchdown. When we're on defense, you want to limit them to field goals, you know.
Right.
So, to me, when you get first and 10, you know, and you're anywhere from the 25-yard line in, if you end up kicking a field goal, that's a win for the defense, you know. So, you know, again, you got to keep it in perspective and you got to put points on the board.
You talked a little bit earlier about, for your defense, you talked about Linehan being such a good off-the-back foot thrower. I know it kind of just happens with the flow of the game, but does that kind of deter you from putting pressure on him and putting him in those situations where he might flourish, you know, throwing off his back foot with guys in his face?
Yeah, you know, last year, I mean, you know, they were huge on first down taking shots. I mean, when you go back and you watch that film, the amount of shots they take on first down, it must have been 6-7 of them throughout the course of the game. The first half did a pretty good job. Second half, they had a couple pass interference, caught a couple of those balls, and the deep ball really killed us towards the end, and we were putting a lot of pressure, doing a lot of different things. So, again, with a young offensive line, you got to get after them a little bit, but you don't want to do it so much to where it becomes a detriment. You know, do you need to play zero? Can you play one? You know, can you zone pressure it? I mean, I think that's one of those deals where, I mean, I think we have an idea what we're going to do. I just won't say it, right?
Oh, absolutely.
But
no, don't.
As we go through the process, I think you got to show them a variety and show them a bunch of different things. And, you know, if you do that, that'll give you your best shot. But, you know, a guy like that's going to make some plays. You got to limit those plays. And, you know, the thing that scares you about him is he is not a big, I want to run first guy, but he can run. You saw it in overtime last year. I mean, you know, we had knocked him around a little bit, didn't do a lot on his feet, but when time came, we showed him pressure. He steps up, runs for the B gap, gets a, you know, converts a third down, which is huge. They end up scoring on the next play and winning in overtime. So he has the ability to do that. So we got to clean up our rush lanes. You saw it last week.
Right.
We did a good job of getting up the field and creating movement, but the quarterback kept stepping up and, you know, into those rush lanes. So we got to clean some of that up.
And you mentioned their defense, Coach, and they're led by two individuals in particular, Ikeem Coleman, senior defensive end, and also Caden Ellis, who's a junior linebacker, and he had two interceptions in the game last year, including a pick six.
Yeah, I mean, they're a good group. You know, we ran a naked, and it was just a bad read. We literally, it was a gift. We threw it right into his hands and got a wide-open guy in front. You know, we went to the shallow guys. So, that's why decision-making is so important. You know, I mean, you got to know why you're making the decision to throw that ball, you know. So we'll clean that stuff up. But they're good players. And when you look at them, that's where they're veteran. You know, their defensive side of the ball, they have a lot of guys returning. You know, and then, again, they're a physical team, older group, mature group, and, you know, a group of guys that have won a lot of games.
All right, we'll take our next break. Then we're going to come back with our conversation with one of the leaders on the Rebels this year on defense, Mr. Mike Hughes. But first, for a great selection of new and pre-owned vehicles, as well as no-hassle sales representatives, come to Findlay Toyota. At Findlay Toyota, they'll do anything to sell you a car. Born and raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road. We'll take a break, come back with Mike Hughes. This is the Tony Sanchez Radio Show on Learfield Sports.
Mike Hughes of the Rebel Defense, our guest on this edition of the Tony Sanchez Coaches Show, live from Born and Raised. And first of all, Eric, address, if you would, the disappointment of the game against Howard and how you guys are dealing with it. We have an idea how the coaching staff is dealing with it, but how are you guys dealing with it?
As a team, we're dealing with it as in keeping everybody level-headed, going in the game understanding that we can't get too far down on ourselves, but understand that we have to get better. We have to be mature with it and fix everything that we did wrong.
All right, now, what are some of the sources of team leadership that can help a squad like this accomplish what you're saying?
Not letting anything go by. I mean, in practice, there's a lot of things we can see that we can fix, and us stepping up to the plate and addressing every little thing, every detail and everything like that, I feel like that plays a big part in it.
All right. Now, upcoming, you got the Idaho team. As you look at film, what are the things that strike you about them?
The quarterback extending plays and get out, throw the ball a lot, and also that they have a great running game. Good two solid backs that go in and they can find holes, and if we get out of our gaps, they'll make us pay for it.
Quarterback, you've had a chance to go up against him last year, Matt Linehan. What impresses you about him?
The fact that he can throw off his back foot like nobody other. I mean, it'd be certain plays you feel like you get some pressure on him, he'd take a back step and he'd throw the ball, and you'd be thinking like, oh, it's about to be inaccurate, but it's right on the spot.
It seemed like the team had trouble getting to Newton last week. How important is it to increase that pressure on Linehan?
Oh, it's huge. It's huge. We had somewhat of pressure, but in our passing lanes, in our rush lanes, he was finding a way out. So, I mean, that's on us not getting our hands on our guys and focusing on our technique and getting off to make that sack. There's a lot of plays you saw where he found a little small hole, and he just come out and make a play.
All right, and deep in the second half, it looked like after a while, the defense was having some trouble losing its legs a little bit.
The tempo somewhat got to us, but for the most part, I feel like both sides were tired. They had guys over there cramping up. We had guys tired as well, but, I mean, that comes with the game.
All right. Now, what are some of the things that you as a senior are hoping to accomplish this year as you look to go out on a positive note?
Only thing I'm worried about is the Mountain West Championship. I have it up in my room. That's all I think about.
All right, very good. We're visiting with Mike Hughes of the Rebel Defense. Mike, we'll get into a little bit about your family and your background. You have two younger brothers and a younger sister. Where are they and what are they doing? Are they in school?
Yes. I have two that are about to be, well, one's about to be a senior. Well, both are seniors. I'm sorry about that. Both are seniors, and one of them is in seventh grade, about to be in eighth grade.
All right. Do you get together with them a lot? Do they talk about the game?
Oh, yeah, for sure. My younger brothers, I mean, they come to the game. My sister wasn't able to make it out. She lives in Victorville. But they for sure give me the little pump up I need before the game always.
All right. Now, you were born in L.A., but you've been living out here since you were a small child. Was there an NFL team that you've attached yourself to? Was it a team that you particularly like?
Oh, yeah. I've been a Dolphin fan all my life. I had a cousin. My cousin, which is the firstborn of my mom, my mom's twin, so we were really close as my mom and her sister were. And he liked the Dolphins. He's 3 years older than me, so I just attached on.
Dolphins, right there. So, all right, that's great. And then let me ask you this, because this gives the fans a chance to see who you are behind the helmet. If you're off the field and you're not practicing, what are some of the things you like to do to occupy yourself?
To occupy myself, I like doing a lot of things with kids. I just got done working with the Boys and Girls Club. That's what I plan to do in my life, helping kids in some type of way. Also playing video games. I'm a big gamer, especially with Madden and 2K and stuff like that. And also just being real family-oriented.
Are you still studying criminal justice?
Yes, I am. I plan on using that after football to, do something with juveniles.
Okay, is that you think that's going to be in corrections, or do you have an idea?
I'm not for sure right now. I know I have a friend that's doing some things with some behavior schools, so I feel like that would be somewhere I start off at.
What about that is important to you?
It's huge because from certain circumstances that I came up through, life wasn't, as easy and it wasn't as hard, but I know I went through a lot of things, and I felt like with me being here, I can bring a lot along with me that's been through things I've been through.
Mike, I appreciate it a lot. Thanks for the time today.
Thank you.
Mike Hughes of the Rebels, our guest, and I'll be back with a lot more as the Tony Sanchez Show continues from Born and Raised, the home of the Rebels on the road, right after this.
Welcome back to Born and Raised, the official home of the Rebels on the road for the Tony Sanchez Radio Show. I want to thank Mike Hughes for being our guest. Reminder, at Finley Toyota, we speak 14 different languages. No matter how you say it, you'll always get a great deal at Finley Toyota. Head coach Tony Sanchez here along with Caleb Herring and yours truly, Russ Langer. Rebels traveling to Idaho for a Saturday afternoon showdown. And they're trying to avenge that overtime loss to the Vandals at Sam Boyd last year, that overtime shootout. Rebels had, of all the games they played last year, they had the most offense, 539 yards of total offense in that game.
Yeah, like I said, we moved the ball pretty well in that game. You know, we moved it up and down the field, and you alluded to earlier, you know, two of those drives ended up in field goals. And the biggest thing is in games, you know, turnovers. I mean, again, we talked about it last week, but, you know, early in that game, first drive, you know, you end up, you know, throwing a pick six, and, you know, those are the difference makers and such. So, again, you know, in this day and age, it's kind of funny because, you know, you look at these stats, oh, we have the number of this offense or that offense, and it's important. It is, but most important stats are always going to be points.
Absolutely. Looking to come up on the other side of a win this week with Idaho. Going up there to Idaho, you got a lot of guys returning, but then there's the guys that this is going to be their first road game. First road game of the season for 2017. How big of an impact does that have in the preparation going into this game?
I think, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I like the fact we're going on the road. You know, sometimes, you know, after, you know, a tough week like that, you know, you just getting on the road, getting the guys kind of locked in the hotel, spending some time together, traveling together, kind of gets them in a confined environment, you know. And, you know, and in a stage where we're at in our program, to be honest with you, you know, again, before, until that facility's built, until we have certain infrastructure, you know, when you travel, you feed them better. They're with you. They're sleeping better. I mean, you know, being an ex-Rebel, I mean, you just don't have a lot of the benefits a lot of the other programs do. So when you do travel, they live better and eat better.
Absolutely.
All right. These are our winning moments of the Tony Sanchez Radio Show for week two. I want to thank all of you for tuning in and stopping by. Rebels at Idaho, and it's 4:05 Pacific time this coming Saturday. So we'll hope you'll join us. Caleb and I will be on the play-by-play. Coach, good luck to you. We'll see you on the plane.
Thanks. Go Rebs.
All right, go Rebs. Caleb, thanks a bunch.
Absolutely.
All right, and that's it for now. This is the Tony Sanchez Show live from Born and Raised, and this is Learfield Sports.
On the Rebel Sports Network, this has been the Tony Sanchez Show. Brought to you by Country Financial. Take simple steps at countryfinancial.com/simple steps. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Rebel Sports Network.